Welcome, and thanks for joining us for the weekly podcast of Center Church San Diego. We are so happy to connect with you online today. You matter to God. You really do. Whatever your past, no matter what your circumstance right now, God loves you. And you belong right here. Hope starts now as we invite Christ to take his rightful place at the center of our lives. So let's jump in.
Everybody. My name is Marcus. I'm the lead pastor here. We're stoked that you came. And how many of you guys are enjoying the 4th of July, like, super weekend so far? Isn't it great? Like, where 4th of July fell, it's like we get a 15-day weekend, it feels like. It's like going on forever. It's pretty awesome. And out here in San Diego, it feels like summer kind of finally showed up. You know what I'm saying? Like, May gray is gone. The gloom of June is gone. And now we get to start complaining about the heat. So it's good. And I've already started doing that a little bit myself. But we're wrapping up a series today that we've been in here for the past 5 weeks or so. I've really enjoyed teaching this series called Chasing the Carrot. And there's been so much about it, I think, that's really kind of hit home in our day-to-day life. We've talked about all kinds of stuff. Just sort of the endless pursuit of more and more and more. And we've talked about how our culture, especially, is really oriented around a carrot chase in a lot of ways. We chase fame and glory. We chase money and stuff. We chase trying to have everything all perfect in some area of our life. Sometimes we chase the approval of people. Last week we talked about how a lot of our lives are really, we're coached to pursue and chase comfort and ease. Make it easier. Have the greatest sense of comfort that you possibly can. And we talked about how a lot of those things are actually counterfeit comforts. We talked about that last week. But this week is maybe my favorite topic, because today we're talking about the purpose chase. And the pursuit of a purpose in life, I believe, is actually a universal pursuit. Doesn't really matter what you believe, what your faith background is, what your faith foreground is. If you have any kind of, like, worldview all across the spectrum, what I see that is universal is a pursuit of purpose in life. Everybody wants to live a life of purpose. They really do. But the reason that it's a carrot chase for most people is because you kind of feel like you're spinning on the wheel. You're constantly chasing and never catching. A lot of people that I know are really, they want to live a life of purpose, but at the end of the day, what they end up actually catching is just a whole lot of spin cycle in their life, and it's frustrating, it's difficult. And what I really believe is that the person who is even far from God has a desire that God actually put inside of them, and it's a desire to live a life of purpose. And here's why, is that God hardwired every person on the planet to desire a life of destiny. There's a little hunger that's built in on the inside of you, whether you know it or not, that actually God placed there. And it's to pursue your ultimate purpose in life. But how many of us can relate to the desire is there, the chase is going on, but so often, sometimes it feels like it's just outside of our grasp. That's what's kind of sick and demented about the carrot in front of your nose, isn't it? It's like you're constantly wanting it, constantly running after it, but you never seem to actually be able to get your hands on it. And the reason that it is a carrot chase for most people is because they never catch it, and they're trying to actually meet that desire that is inside of themselves without looking to God for direction in it. Lots of people recognizing, man, I've got a need, a desire for destiny, but they try to fill that need with something other than God. Proverbs 29:18 is kind of a theme scripture for us today. It says this: if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are the most blessed. There's lots of people chasing a life without God and stumbling all over themselves. Maybe you've tried that one for yourself. Okay, I see a bunch of nodding heads. A few of us have tried that path. Doesn't work all that well. But he's saying when you try to do that without being able to see what God's doing, you kind of make a mess of your life. You sort of stumble all over yourselves. But when you and I attend to what God's doing, when we choose to chase what he's revealing in our life, we end up being the most blessed. Or there's another way, another translation actually talks about a joy, a contentment of soul that comes over us that is not impacted by our external circumstances. Sounds pretty good, right? Wouldn't it be pretty great to operate with an internal contentment and joy that isn't touched by whatever external circumstance you went through? That's what the Bible calls the way of life, the path of life. The hole on the inside, the desire for purpose, gets filled with the life-giving blessing and contentment of God. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever." See, joy doesn't come by showing up to church every once in a while. Joy doesn't come by accomplishments or by pleasing other people. It doesn't come by being perfect, because nobody's perfect. Right? You guys, are you awake? Right? Are you with me here today? Nobody's perfect, okay? Or getting a bunch of money, okay? Joy comes by actually experiencing the reality of being in the middle of God's will and purpose for my life. That's where joy happens. And one of the most heartbreaking things that I see as a pastor is how many people will choose some other path to chase that purpose question, and then they actually end up missing the actual way of life. It's a pandemic. People chasing every other direction other than God to meet that internal need, and they end up missing him altogether. They miss the actual way of life. If you're taking notes, you can pop open that app if you want to, or on that little fill-in sheet. I want you to write down this truth. Most people settle for less than Jesus paid for. Most people settle for less than Jesus paid for. And some of you are there right now. You might enjoy a certain level of accomplishment or success in one area or another, but you just stop short of full-blown joy. You settled for less. And in fact, that's exactly what the devil himself wants you to do. He wants you to settle for less than what Jesus actually paid for. He doesn't want you experiencing everything that Jesus came to accomplish in your life. He wants you to settle for less than what Jesus paid for. You ever feel like sometimes the cards you get dealt in life, you're like, man, it just feels like everybody's against me. You ever feel that feeling? So it's like it's just like the cards are coming against me, or I've got an opposition or something in my life. You ever feel that way? It's because there actually is an opposition in your life, and he actually doesn't want you to experience all that God set out to accomplish in your life. He doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to settle for less. Look at what John 10:10, Jesus actually tells us. He says, the thief, the devil, your adversary, he says, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. If you ever felt like stuff got stolen from you, there's the dude. You ever felt like stuff like died on the vine in your life, there's the guy. That's why he came, so that you would be killed and destroyed, and he takes all of your stuff. Okay, that's what he wants to do. But look at what Jesus says of himself. He says, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. The devil wants to take your stuff. Jesus wants to fill you up. The devil wants to kill you and destroy your life. The King, the Savior of the world, came so that you could live a life that is abundant. But this is the conflict. This is the conflict. And God really does have a plan for your life. Wouldn't you like to know what that is? Like, man, you came on a great weekend. I'm about to give you what God's plan is for your life. You're like, wow, you don't even know me. How do you know that? This is what's really cool, is that even though you have been custom made and fashioned, and every heart and mind and life in this room is unique, you're one of a kind, I can tell you with a certainty, there is a certain little void that God built into you, a little hunger after him that is universally met when we live out the purposes that God has for our life. This is really where it's at. And over the past few years, we've really kind of distilled what the teaching of the scripture is to try to put it in language that absolutely everybody can understand, no matter where you're at on the faith continuum at all. But this is the plan that God has for you. I want to just go through it really, really quickly. The first is that you would know God. Write that down. To know God. God's first and primary purpose for you is for your life to be in relationship with Him. He made you so He could love you. Now, that might blow some of your minds because your picture of God is something completely different. But I got to tell you, when you flip through the Bible and you begin to really encounter what He has said about His creation, His children, He made you so He could be in relationship with you. He thinks you're absolutely incredible. The Scripture says He considers you His greatest work of art. You're the apple of His eye. If He had a refrigerator, your face would be on it, okay? And all your, like, horrible stick figure drawings, it would all be up there. Because He's absolutely head over heels for you. You are made to know God. But here's the problem. 1 Timothy 6:21 says, some of these people have missed the most important thing in life. They don't know God. So your purpose is to know Him, but some folks have missed the most important thing in all of the world. And one of the greatest revelations that you could ever possibly have is actually recognizing that Jesus Christ is not a religion. He's a person who wants to have a relationship with you. Lots of people walking around today that have missed the most important thing in life. They don't know God. And this is where we begin. This is why it's first to begin to have a personal relationship with God. Here at Center Church, we say it's Christ at the center of me. At the very core of who I am is a relationship with this person, the Savior of all the world, Jesus Christ. And we have to experience the first one before we can move on to any of the next ones. We have to know God. Here's the next one. We then find freedom. That's God's purpose for you, to find freedom. That means to get over some of the hang-ups in our life or some of the habits or the hurts that we have. How many folks would admit, like, man, I've got a few hurts in my past. I wish I could get past that. The addictions, the secrets, the thing that's in your life right now that if it were gone, your life would get better overnight. To find freedom in that place, because God's purpose for you is to find freedom in that. Now, we talked last week about how lots of us sometimes chase all kinds of counterfeit comforts to try to make that not hold us back. But the reality is, in the heart of God, there's this passionate desire that you would be able to experience freedom, to find it for the first time, to get set free from the hurts and habits and hang-ups that hold us back all the time. Jesus said in John chapter 8, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. There's freedom in Him. I don't know many of you well, but I know this one thing for sure. You need Jesus really bad. And He's come to set you free. We celebrated the 4th of July at our house like I'm sure many of you did. And at one point, we gathered up the tribe, and we all found our spot to watch the fireworks. And we had our 20 or 30 minutes of frivolity. How many people watched the fireworks? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you people are so old you're in bed by about 8:30, and it wasn't even dark yet? Okay, yeah. Yeah, you're like cruised through Marie calendars, caught your sugar-free pie, straight to bed. Good for you. But for a lot of America, we enjoyed the fireworks display. What's the fireworks display? It is the celebration of American freedom, right? I want you to imagine what it's going to be like when we get to heaven and we watch the fireworks show that God puts on for the people that He has set free. There's something different. We're not talking about a 20, 30 minute, like, oh, that was nice, now we got to fight the traffic. I'm talking about a spectacular celebration because God has set somebody free. Pretty big stuff. That's why, when you did that, I did that. I'm guessing you gathered with a group of people to watch the fireworks. You know why? Because those kinds of celebrations are best done in a community. They're best done with other people. They're best done in groups. That's why we talk about groups so much around here at Center Church. Because we want you to be in one, not for us, but so that you can actually find some freedom in a connection, in a community of people, to know God and find freedom so that, write this down, you can discover purpose. Discover purpose. That's the third aspect of God's plan. Mark Twain once said that the two greatest days of your life are the day you were born and the day you figure out why. The problem is that far too many people, they get the birthday down, but they can't for the life of them ever figure out why they were born. And let me just say, if you don't know the answer to that question of why, what's the whole point? It may be because you haven't experienced the first two steps. It may be because you don't know God yet, and you haven't actually found freedom in Him yet. Until you have wiped away the smudges and the stains of yesterday from your eyes, you can't see the hope in tomorrow. It's just the reality. The hope in tomorrow can be as bright as all get out, but you can't see it because you look like you just did the Tough Mudder. And you've got it all over you, and you can't seem to see where you're going. So what do we do when that's the case? Well, Galatians 6:4 says, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work that you've been given, and then seek yourself into that. That doesn't mean that you're going to have all of the answers to every life's confusing problems and issues. He's just saying, make a careful exploration of who you are. You've been given a work. Go sink yourself into that. See, God has a custom-made purpose for you that's uniquely fitted to your shape. Because there's nobody quite like you. There's no copy that even comes close to you. And that's why we talk about growth track around here quite a bit. Because it's not about me telling you what your purpose is. In fact, I am insufficient. But I'm kind of like the tour guide. Okay? We're all sort of on a journey. And if I can just kind of point you in the right direction and point out a couple of highlights here and there, places where we can grow, things that we can draw from, promises that we can hang on to, my job is to just kind of point us in the general direction because I'm on the journey with you. I'm just a fellow struggler along the way, okay? But to actually identify, you know what? There's areas of gifting that you have that are unique to you. Did you know that? You have certain things that make you pound the table that they're deep in your heart. They're the things you love. They're the things that maybe even outreach you, that make you stand up and say, no, not on my watch. They're the abilities that God has uniquely gifted you in. They're different than mine. Your personality is different. Why don't you turn the person next to you and say, your personality is different. Okay? It's true. That's good news for you. Your personality is different, and that's good. But growth track even is about helping you identify where your experiences actually help shape you. The things that you've been through, the good times, the bad times, the most painful experiences in your life, they've shaped you. And the combination of all of those ingredients coming together, Paul is saying, make a careful exploration of who you are so that this work that you've been given can move forward. You discover your purpose and then sink yourself into that so that, here's the last one, you can make a difference. You got to know God, find freedom, discover purpose in Him so that you can make a difference. Jesus said in John 17, in the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, He's praying to the Father. Jesus is saying, the same way, God, that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. You have a mission in the world. Did you know that? And it's not some little, like, twinky, lame thing either. It's diddly. Jesus gave it to you. You were fashioned and made with a hunger deep inside to live a life of destiny. God gave you a mission. And what's incredible is that you don't have to, like, be all perfect and great. He knows how messed up you are, and He still wants you on the mission. Some of you are like, man, that's great news for me, because I was just thinking, how messed up am I? Right? I'm with you on that. But God has brought us and called us into a mission. And so this is what I want to help you chase as we wrap up this series. We've talked a lot about what not to chase. Today I want to point you towards something that you can run after with all of your heart. It's pursuing the ultimate purpose, my ultimate purpose. Maybe you've been spinning your wheels trying to win the approval of other people. Or you've been spinning your wheels just trying to make a buck and get more stuff. Or get my life all lined out and get my life all cleaned up enough and perfect enough so that I can finally have some joy in my life. And none of it's ever worked out. It's just that carrot that's just outside of your nose and you're spinning your wheels. But this one, you can run after with all you've got. This one you can not only chase, the Bible says you can catch it. This is the pursuit of your ultimate purpose. Look at what the Apostle Paul said in Acts 20, verse 24. He says, I don't care about my own life. The most important thing is that I complete my mission, the work that the Lord Jesus gave me to do, to tell people the good news about God's grace. The mission, plain and simple, is to go make a difference in the world, to tell people about the grace of Jesus. You were created to make a difference in the world. And the most important thing that you could ever do is to go and complete that mission. And that's why you're here walking the planet. To go and tell people the good news. That God's grace forgives. That God's life restores. The good news that even the most messed up person in this place today is not beyond the graciousness of God. To completely hit the reset button and restart your life, to give you a life that is abundant and full. It's incredible news. Now notice I said to share the good news of what's going on with you. You're basically like a witness on the witness stand. You're not there to tell people to turn or burn. Okay? Get right or get left. Okay? You're not the prosecutor. You're not the judge. You're just a witness on the witness stand. What do witnesses do? They just tell their side of the story. I'm just going to tell you what's going on in my life. And I'll tell you what God has done in my life. I am profoundly shaped and transformed because of the love of God. That's my story. My mission in life, your mission in life, is to tell other people about it. Now, listen to me carefully right here, because I want to give you a heads up on something. There is a gravitational pull in every one of us. Every person in this room has this gravitational pull. And it basically tells you this. Do what's good for you. There's a pull. Just do what's good for you. Put it another way. Just do you, boo. You know why you love that statement? I do too. I tell random strangers, just do you, boo. Right? Because I just like it. And I like saying it in front of my 13-year-old daughter who thinks I'm a dork. Okay, that's just my thing. But you know why that feels good? Because it feels good to opt for what's easier. It feels better to opt for what's comfortable. But that's not why you exist. You don't exist to just do you, boo. You exist to make a difference in the world. You exist to actually tell other people about the profound goodness of God. And when we lose sight of that mission, we fall apart. Years ago, there was a story in a Florida newspaper about a dog race. I don't know if you've ever seen a dog race. Anybody ever seen a dog race? In San Diego, we do horse races. Rednecks do dog races, okay? Is that offensive? All you rednecks are like, I'm outraged. Have you ever raised a dog? I rest my case. But this was actually a true story about a dog race in Florida. Now, obviously, when you do dog races, in order to get a dog to run, they need a reason to run. You don't have dog jockeys, right? When you ride a horse, there's a dude or a lady on there directing, you know, prodding, we're running in this direction and this fast and all that kind of stuff. A dog has to have a reason to run. I know that for my dog, Juno the dog needs serious incentive to run more than about 10 yards, okay? If there's not a dropped car already saw a burrito on the ground. She's going to walk over to it. Okay, but here's what they do in a dog race. Is there's actually a mechanical rabbit that goes on a track ahead of the dogs. Because the dog will chase a rabbit. And so what they do is they fire the mechanical rabbit that's like this stuffed animal basically on a stick that goes around ahead of the dogs, and then they release the dogs, and all the dogs chase the rabbit. That's how it works. That's how they get them to do that. But on this one particular race, right around the first corner or so, there was a malfunction with the mechanical rabbit, and it basically exploded at the first turn. So now there's fake fur and stuffing and strings and wire. It just disintegrated the fake rabbit. Now the dogs have nothing to run after. And it's kind of interesting. Here's what literally happened when they lost sight of the rabbit. Some of the dogs completely stopped and laid down on the track. Some of the dogs took a nap. That's my dog, okay? That was a great carne asada burrito. I'll catch you in about 6 hours. I need a nap. Some of the dogs got confused by what was going on, and they literally ran through the railings and broke some of their ribs. They piled into the railings. Some of the dogs turned toward all of the people in the stands and just started howling. Right? And here's what I thought when I heard that story. What a picture of humanity. When you don't have focus in your life, you're either take a nap, hurt yourself, or howl at everybody else around you. You'll either say, forget it, I'm going in a hole, I'll catch you after nap time. Or you'll pile into something else and break the ribs that are inside of you. Or you'll just howl at everybody else. You're either waiting, or you're wounded, or you're wailing at anybody that you can get your hands on. Why? Because your ultimate purpose isn't in view anymore. That doesn't just happen to dogs at a dog track. That happens to human beings like you and me every single day. You're here to complete your mission. But that's why the Apostle Paul is saying, I don't care about my own life. This is not about me. It's not about me. So don't just do you, boo, is what I'm saying. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. It's about the mission. And here's the promise of Jesus within it. Look at what Acts 1:8 says. Jesus is speaking. He says, but I promise you this. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and you'll be filled with power. And you'll be my messengers to Jerusalem, throughout Judea, the distant provinces, even to the remotest places on earth. But basically, Jesus is breaking down the mission into three key initiatives here. And these are the difference decisions that you and I can make every single day. Okay, I'm going to leave you with these three little thoughts. These are the difference-making decisions I can make every single day. You can start this afternoon. You can walk into your Monday doing this. You don't have to wonder, man, is this what God's will is for me or not? I can tell you with absolute certainty, out of the words of Jesus, this is on target for you. This is what you were made to do. Jot these down. Here's the first one. Go make a difference in my world. Make a difference in my world. These are the people that are the closest to you. This is your circle. Okay? This is your crew. This is your community. Mark 5:19 says, go home to your family and friends. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And then Jesus wasn't saying this to a group of people that had it all together, by the way. He was saying this to a dude that had been completely out of his mind. Like, you talk mentally ill, broken at the deepest parts of his soul. And Jesus had touched him and healed him and transformed his life. And he said, now go home to your family and friends. Go tell them how much the Lord has done for you. You start off by making a difference in my world. And there's all different kinds of ways that you can do that. By serving people, by inviting people, that's a huge way. We invite people by having a bringing mindset around here. Okay? A bringing mindset. That's the way Jesus did it. He didn't try to answer every question at stage one. He didn't point a bunch of fingers and said, man, you're really jacked up over there. You need to get it together, man. You know what Jesus said? He just said, come and see. Want to follow me? Just come and see. And everything else came out of that. We make a difference around here in lots of different ways. One of the ways we do it is by serving on teams. We take time to serve our world. We serve our guests. We serve our kids and students. We serve the world that we have been placed in for the glory of God. That means that you're living out your purpose if you have the great honor of going and serving the babies of our church. You're like, yeah, but they're babies. They're such babies. You have the opportunity to serve your world. When you bring a friend with you and you buy them that free cup of coffee that's outside, you're making a difference in your world. When you give generously to see the message of Jesus amplified throughout this world of ours, throughout this building of ours, throughout this family of ours. Proverbs 3:27 says, never walk away from someone who deserves your help. Look at this. Your hand is God's hand for that person. Underline that. Your hand is God's hand for that person. Never tell your neighbors to wait until tomorrow if you can help them now. I love that. Your hand is God's hand for that person. That's why I'm telling you, when you start getting this mindset that says, you know what, I'm going to go make a difference in my world, God sent you on a mission. He said, those hands that you got right there, those are my hands. Go use them. Go make the biggest impact that you possibly can in your world. Here's the second one. Make a difference beyond myself. I can do that today. I can do that this coming week. These are the people that might be close to you, but they're different than you. We do this all the time through restore projects around San Diego. In fact, there's a great one coming up on July 13th. If you'd like to be involved, we've got a great one. It's called Just in Time Foster Youth Program. These are young kids that are aging out of the foster program as young adults, and they need help getting on their feet. We're going to go make a difference beyond ourselves. That means the folks, they might be close to you, like in proximity, but they may not agree with you. Near as I can tell, in such a polarized society, it's pretty easy to find people that are close to you that don't agree with you at all. He's called us to make a difference beyond ourselves. 1 Corinthians 9:22 says, whatever a person is like, I try to find common ground with him so that he will let me tell him about Christ and let Christ save him. Just find some common ground. Do you share any value? Focus there. Do you share a struggle? I bet you do. One of the things we say is we just try to build a bridge of love and let Jesus walk across. You're not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. I'm a bridge builder. You're a bridge builder. We just build a bridge of love and we let Jesus walk across. And let me tell you, the best way to reach someone for Christ, listen to me, Christian, if you're a believer in Jesus, you need to listen to this. This is essential. The best way to reach someone for Christ is find out where they're hurting and help them. It's as simple as that. You don't need a theological degree. They're overrated. You don't need to be the sword drill champion of 1994. You don't need to have it all together. Your marriage doesn't need to be like epic and great. You don't need to have like the killer career and everyone looks up to you and thinks you're just the bee's knees. All you got to do is find out where they're hurting and help them. That's it. That's your mission in life. Galatians 6:2 says, stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed, share their burdens, and so complete Christ's law. That's how you make a difference beyond yourself. And then here's the last one, number three. Make a difference that touches the world. I'm looking at some faces that just did this past week. They went to some distant spot, probably a spot you've never been to before, and you touched the world. Way to go. Crushed it. You're fulfilling the mission of Jesus. Mark
16:15, Jesus said to his followers, "Go everywhere in the world and tell the good news to everyone." That's why we do things around here like the Brave Little Panda Initiative, where we have gone and are providing cardiac repairs to children with special needs, the throwaway kids of China, halfway around the world. And you may never meet them yourself, but you can make a difference that touches the world. You go there every day and you're giving. But you know what? Maybe you can go meet them too. Why not? Go make a difference that touches the world. You've been called to do that. This world will tell you that your purpose in life is to make a living, make a dollar. But your purpose in life isn't making a living. Your purpose in life is making a difference that's different. Write down this final truth. I will never be satisfied making a dollar when my purpose is to make a difference. Now, there's nothing wrong with making a living. In fact, God wants to meet and supply your needs. I'm simply saying this. Don't let making a dollar determine your destiny. It's a difference. Make a difference with it. Make a difference with your dollar. Make a difference with your life. Make a difference with your career. Make a difference where you live and where you work and where you play. Start thinking about your mission as an everyday experience. Chase your ultimate purpose. And I don't know what your unique one looks like today. What I do know is that you have one. And where I really believe this starts is with a simple little prayer, and I'm done. But I want to pose a prayer to you today. But before I say it out loud, before you agree with it in advance, I want to let you know this is a daring prayer. Don't waltz into this one. Don't say this one on accident, like whoops-a-daisies. This is a bold one. This is a brave one. This has profoundly radical implications for your life. It's the prayer that says, God, use me to make an eternal difference this week. God, use me to make an eternal difference this week. Most people settle for less than what Jesus came for. Maybe you have. But he has called you. Don't shrink back from your ultimate purpose. Your mission, to know God and find freedom in him, to discover your purpose so that you can go and make a difference. God, use me to make an eternal difference this week. Would you bow your heads with me? I'm guessing in a room this size, we've got a few hurts and hang-ups in the room. And before we can even step into the ability to make a difference, we gotta start in first place. We gotta go first things first. There's somebody in here today, maybe more than one. This sounds like it meets the exact hunger that you have always known was deep inside, but you've never been introduced to a relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't know God. And I want to tell you that before you leave here today, your life can begin on a radical, purpose-filled life. And if you could just agree with a little prayer that says, Jesus, I need you. I'm inviting you to come into my life. I need you to forgive me. Where I've made mistakes, my sin, the past, and my regret, I give all of that to you right now, and I'm inviting your new life to come into me. Make me a new creation in you. If that's the prayer that you just agreed with, you think to yourself, man, that's exactly what I would ask God if I had the words. here's all you need to do. I really believe this. The Word of God says you call on the name of Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So here's what simple little prayer I'd like you to pray under your breath. If you agree with what I just said, is to just say, Jesus, that's me. Simple little prayer, Jesus, that's me. And I promise I'm not going to draw any attention to you. I won't embarrass you in any way. Because everybody's got their heads down, their eyes are closed. It's just you and me. But if that's a prayer that you just prayed, you just invited Jesus to come into your life, I'd like to pray for you in just a second. Would you just slip up your hand and let me know who I'm praying for? Great. Hands all over the place here today. Praise God. Jesus, I thank you for my friends who have made this step towards you. I thank you for the promise of new life. And I thank you that your promises are dependable. Step toward this new relationship with you. And all of us here today, Lord, we have an opportunity to step into our week in a different way. I pray that you would empower us to chase our ultimate purpose in you. I thank you in advance that you have great and mighty things that you want to see accomplished through our unique life. This grand and glorious mission that you've called us onto is empowered by your Spirit, not by our own effort. And so we welcome you to do exactly that. God, use me to make an eternal difference this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. The question now is, what are you going to do with what you just discovered? Take a step to connect with us in person? Or perhaps choose to support the ministry of Center Church with your financial generosity? Take your next right step and visit us online at centerchurchsd.com. See you next time!